Welcome to episode number 615. You are at Rayner on Leadership. My name is Tom Rayner, and I'm joined by Sam Rayner. And I'm also joined by Amy Jordan in Richmond. And I was trying to find Kevin Spratt in Lexington, but he has disappeared.
The rapture occurred.
Okay, no. The rapture occurred. You, me, and Kevin might be here, but Amy would be gone.
That's true. Kevin just blanked out like God had. Ooh, I hope it's not an Ananias and Sapphira sort of thing going on with Kevin.
That would be more likely than the rapture if he disappeared.
I mean, he was there one moment on the screen and then he was gone.
But hey, we're recording this with other backups. Kevin's back end operations obviously is not here, but you've got some and Amy's got some and I've got nothing. Typical me. I used to record these, you know, Sam, but I'd always forget to do things and I wouldn't do right. So Kevin and Amy finally said, you know, we really don't need him doing the recording. It doesn't do any good anyway.
Really? I mean, that's so out of character for you to miss all the little details.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I miss a lot of details. When I write, when I talk, like I mentioned this in an earlier podcast, doing a webinar and forgetting the detail of taking the landline off the hook and during a live webinar.
I missed that webinar and I regret missing it for that one reason, to watch the awkward moment of you having to deal with the interruption.
We'll show you how to go to the recorded webinar so you can spend an hour and a half. I know it was an hour. I'm sorry. Watching the entirety of that. We're going to be talking about a area that has a little bit of sensitivity to it, but at the same time, there's a lot of clarity on what not to do and what to do. It is how to respond when church members hold key leadership positions but don't attend faithfully.
This will probably get some feedback.
Mm-hmm. It'll probably get a lot of interest. When you go to our ongoing consulting and coaching forum at Church Answers Central, this is a question that comes up occasionally. Hey, I've got such and such in a leadership position. In fact, one person said, I think he's only been here twice in the last year. And yet he has two key leadership positions in the church.
That's a problem.
That's a problem. And he asked the question, what should I do? And I'm exaggerating, but I think 1,000 people responded right quickly about what you should do. Dude, why is he even there? Why is he even there? Well, we'll be talking about this and we'll be looking at 5 options, not all good options, but we'll be looking at 5 options. We always want to thank Vanderblumen. They are our sponsor and have been for many years. They've been in business for 10 years. They started off by helping churches find pastors and other staff, but now they help other organizations, Christian schools, nonprofits, Christian businesses, value-based organizations to find people to be in those organizations. If you need that type of search, call our friends at vanderblumen.com. Okay, Sam, we talked about this pre-recording of this podcast, and we said we're going to go over the options, and I gave you option 1, and you just responded pretty curtly. I said, no, we're going to still go over this option because it is an option. Option 1, if you have a church member holding a key leadership, but they don't attend faithfully, option 1 is to do nothing.
Yeah, it's really not an option, but I would say more times than not, this is what happens. This is the way most churches respond. They just do nothing. So while this is not a good option, it is more than likely the most common option.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. And this option, another way of talking about it is the metaphor kicking the can. It's hard to make the type of decision where you're telling leaders they can't lead if they don't also attend.
Yes. And, you know, we don't like dealing with difficult subjects. Pastors don't want to hurt people. Church leaders don't necessarily want to rock the boat. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why you would just go, you give it time, maybe they'll come back. But almost always, when you have somebody in a leadership position, they're not being faithful to the church, it doesn't get better on its own. And many times it leads to even worse consequences. There are reasons that that person is not being faithful. And likely those reasons are spiritual reasons. And you can see somebody move from being a supporter to an antagonist just because they aren't being faithful in their life. So doing nothing is really not a good option, even though it's probably the most common option. You do see a lot of churches just don't rock the boat, we'll kick the can, to mix my metaphors, and we'll deal with this later.
So we could go down an ancillary path, and we could go down the path of how to respond when church members hold key leadership positions but don't attend faithfully. An ancillary but also similar path is how to respond when church members hold key leadership positions but don't give faithfully. That's another indicator.
Right, and that's an impossibility at my church, because you don't become a leader in the church without us vetting your faithfulness. And one of the ways that we vet faithfulness is by doing a giving check. We have some very confidential ways that we do that, of course. We don't advertise.
You're not looking at the giving in your church, are you?
No, no, I don't. I don't personally ever see a name associated with an amount. I don't know who gives what, but our financial team will, you know, when names come up for leadership, our financial team will give us kind of a thumbs up, thumbs down sort of approach of, hey, there's a pattern of faithfulness here. There's not a pattern of faithfulness. So one of the ways to preempt this problem is to do a giving check on every potential leader, and then they don't become a leader if there's no pattern of faithfulness there. It is actually, honestly, it's solved about 99% of our problems in the church, because giving will go before attendance. People will stop giving before they stop coming.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when you see attendance fall off, there are many other things that have led up to that point.
Option two is pastoral. Try to understand the reason behind the infrequent attendance. And there could be some reasons that you as a leader or pastor and or pastor may not have even realized.
Absolutely. Let's not assume the worst of people. Let's assume the best. So if you're seeing a pattern that's, you know, not good in a person, and that pattern in this case being infrequent attendance, go talk to them about it. You might actually
that really combines with our option three, is dressing it one-on-one. So let's just kind of merge those two together.
Yeah. So you're never going to discover the reason behind the infrequent attendance unless you ask them. I mean, you need to go talk to the person one-on-one. You need to understand where they're coming from. They could be like, hey, I'm a caregiver. And we have this in my church. I've seen this more than once. Someone hasn't been coming as much. Well, my mom is elderly and she can't get out that much, and she really wants to go to her church. So I've been picking her up on Sunday and taking her to her church. We are expecting her to pass in the next year. I will most certainly be back when my mom passes. Now, that may change everything about what you thought about that person, right? It's like, oh, wow, they're in a situation where they're caring for an elderly parent. Well, of course they're not here. So there may be a legitimate reason. And then you can shepherd that person and know where they are. Don't assume the worst. You know, go in just assuming that there's a legitimate reason. And then that will also let, when you approach the person, you can let your guard down a little bit and not be so defensive of, hey, why haven't you been here?
I don't necessarily love going to the doctor. I don't enjoy that part, whether even it's for a health checkup. But I do love talking to my physician. We have a lot in common. And we just end up laughing a lot. Of course, he laughs when he sees me, and then he does physical exam and laughs even more. I love talking to him. And I said, Doc, how's church? This was maybe a year or two ago. And he said, I really haven't been in a while. Totally unlike him. A leader in the church, totally unlike him. And he didn't wait for me to ask the question. He just went on and said, look, my dad has Alzheimer's. He's deteriorating rapidly. I don't know how long he's going to last. And I am the family member in charge of relieving the other family members, and my day is Sunday. And he said, it's just the way it is. I wish we could have worked it out another time where my day would have been a weekday and I could take off from my practice or whatever the case may be. But he said, you know, until dad dies, I'm going to be spending this time with him. And he says, it's precious time. He says, it's an entire Sunday. And his dad did die and he got back in church. But that sounds like an exception, but there are exceptions out there.
Right. And the reason that you go and talk to somebody one-on-one is, well, one, that's what Matthew 18 tells you to do. This is a biblical part of the process. But two, you may find out something that this particular person would have never told you unless you would have broached the subject. So always, whenever you're having these conversations, it's always with grace. It's always with the level of mercy. And go in with a genuine desire to truly understand where they're coming from. You may find a lot of stories, too, where the person is just not where they need to be spiritually, or there really is something kind of bad going on. But for the sake of those cases where there is a legitimate reason, you owe it to that person to to have the conversation. You owe that person, you owe it to that person to be gracious in the conversation.
This fourth option, reset the criteria for leadership. There may not be a criteria for leadership, and it may be something you have to do in policies. It may be something you have to do in the bylaws, but reset the criteria. Did you reset the criteria at your church for giving, or was that in place for some time?
It was in place before I arrived, but we are now looking to codify the process. I don't know that we'll put it in our bylaws, but we're definitely going to write it down and make it. It's going to move from being a procedure, which is typically unwritten, to a policy, which is written. So somehow, some way, we are going to codify. We're going to write it down. We're going to make it clear that this is what we're doing. The practice was in place before I got there, and I'm very grateful actually, because it's certainly one of the no filter is perfect in the church, but certainly one of the best leadership filters we've had.
What do you anticipate you will codify? Giving, faithful attendance, or the basics?
Yeah. So one is, are they abiding by the covenant of the church, which is our seven expectations of every member?
So you can't. Okay. So you do have a church covenant that is for membership, and I should know that because I am a church member.
Yeah, and it's completely ripped off from your book, I Will.
And I
so it's basically your book made into a church covenant.
Okay. Hey, we'll put the link to I Will in there. So if you want to do your church covenant based on my book, you can then go through my book and talk about your church covenant.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I've got a blog all about that as well. So we can put that in the show notes in terms of, you know, a church covenant. So yeah, so what are we going to codify? One, are you abiding by the church covenant? And it's a very basic covenant about the expectations of the church. Two, are you in general agreement with our doctrine, which is a requirement for membership? So step number one in leadership is, are you doing the basics of membership? But then, yes, we'll look at faithful attendance. We will look at whether or not they're involved in a life group, and then whether or not they are giving faithfully. So there may be some other things. It's still very much in the works. It's not settled yet, but those are some of the basics that we'll be looking at for determining who can be a leader or not.
I know we're going down a path where we didn't start. We started off about when church members hold key leadership positions but don't attend faithfully. We expanded that to also don't give faithfully. If I remember what I wrote in I Will, unity is a big issue too. So when I signed the covenant at West Bradenton Baptist Church, I was agreeing to be a unifying church member, correct?
Point number six of our covenant is seek unity.
Okay.
So you have to be proactive about unity.
Does that mean you have to talk to people?
For you, we'll make an exception.
Okay. Because if I have to talk to people, I'm violating the covenant and I will just have to step aside.
For those in your case, though, we do ask for a triple tithe instead of a regular tithe.
I do triple tithe to your brother's church.
Okay, fair enough.
So we're talking about how to respond when church members hold key leadership positions but don't attend faithfully. And we're going through different options. And going through different options does not mean that all of these options are good. Number one definitely is not a good option. Do nothing because, and we have this in parentheses in our show notes, watch things get worse. But we also said discover the reason behind the infrequent attendance. There may be a pastoral need there. And so obviously that goes to option three, address the issue one-on-one with the person instead of, as Sam said, assuming the worst. And then another option is reset the criteria for leadership. We said in the show notes and policy and bylaws, but Sam, you said it could come in other forms as well. You will not necessarily put it in a bylaw.
Yeah. It depends on the way that your church governance is structured. A bylaw change, depending on how you view your bylaws, could be a very significant endeavor. And this may not rise to that kind of change in the church. For us, how we determine our leaders, we could put it in our bylaws, and I don't think it would be a problem, but it's not necessarily something that for us is a big governance issue. It's just kind of the best practices, if you will. I don't know that we'll put this in our bylaws, but we'll at least write it down. It will at least be something that all of our leaders, you know, are okay with. I mean, you know, do we want to vote on this kind of change as a church? Because that's a bylaw change. You're going to vote on it.
Got it.
Because we're congregational in our government. I don't know that it rises to that level. I don't know that I want it to rise to that level. Whether you put it in the bylaws or not, that's really up to the governance of the church. There's certainly nothing wrong with it. If it's a general process, what you really want to avoid in your bylaws is just them becoming this gigantic thing that's impossible to know how to, you know, lead your church.
The Brad Wagner quote. There's so many quotes. And I love the fact that he's not on social media, because I'll steal his quotes and take it for my own and he'll never know it.
Completely fair game. Yes.
Yeah. I've done that with many of those. And one of these things he said, most bylaws are the result of idiot proofing the organization. In other words, every time there's a problem with a person or a small group, we're going to put it in the bylaws instead of addressing that person or the group. And that can be the thing. You can have this voluminous document, a bylaw, trying to cover every possible situation or to remedy a negative situation. And that may not be the best place for the bylaws. And that's why you look at alternative places.
Yes. Don't write anything in the bylaws that applies to one person. Don't ever.
Or a small group.
It's not worth it. You want to avoid that at all costs. But the last option is one that I do believe is a good option. It may not be for every church, but I think asking your key leaders to sign some sort of leadership covenant is a good practice.
You ask the members to sign a covenant.
No, we don't. Okay. There's no signing, because I know that's a bit of a controversy in churches. You know, do you make someone sign something or not?
Okay, it's presuming that you're abiding by it when you become a member.
Correct. I mean, there's this idea of, you know, signing is a bit of a formality, and it some people kind of have, they get weird about it. I personally have no problem with it, but given the, you know, some people have an issue, we don't make people sign anything. But agree to the covenant, yes. It's made very clear in our membership class. It's made very clear in all of our leadership training that this is something that people must agree to in order to be a leader or in some cases, in order to be a member.
Very good. Well, as I listen to this, Sam, I begin to hear very, very clearly that setting the expectations is a pretty big deal.
That's the key here. However it fleshes out technically is setting proper expectations in the church. Letting your leaders know up front, this is who we are, this is what we expect, this is what we do. Letting your members know, if you're going to be a member here, this is what we expect, this is what we do, this is who we are as a church. That will solve so many of your problems. And you may say, well, if we do this, we may lose some potential leaders. And I say, well, you didn't want them anyway if they're not going to abide by the things that you want them to do. You might as well set forth those expectations.
By the way, before we leave, your wife and your son are here, and you can tell them hello on the podcast. Yes, they are at my place. Your lovely wife is helping with some things around the house, and my grandson, your son Joel, is here as well. And there's a plumber upstairs, and there's a drywall person downstairs.
Which is really humorous to me, because they left my house so that it would be quiet for the podcast. Your house.
They're being very quiet right now, Sam. It's amazing. Joel is actually on the floor silent. It's an amazing thing.
I don't quite know what to say to this, because Erin was very clear. She's like, we're going to leave. You know, we know you're recording a podcast, and then they're on this podcast, and they go to your place. It just doesn't even, that doesn't, I don't know. Maybe that says something more about me than it does anything.
It does, and I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you for being with us on episode number 615. We've been talking about how to respond when church members hold key leadership positions but don't attend faithfully. Got to give you this reminder, listening audience. This is an incredible opportunity. We have this bundle of resources called the Outreach Bundle. And basically, we're bringing together several of our top resources, lowering the price significantly, and allowing you to just have this outward focus to reach more people. You will get Pray and Go, our most popular resource. You will get Reaching the Millennial Generation. You will get our second most popular resource, Invite Your One. And you will get our third most popular, 16 Quick Adjustments to Reach More Guests in Your Church. Pray and Go, Reaching the Millennials, Invite Your One, 16 Quick Adjustments. This almost sounds like a television commercial. This is a limited time offer. It is a limited time offer. We're going to lower the price for our listening audience. It's just going to be there a while. The link is there, and you can just jump right in. Once again, thank you for joining us. And always, thank you, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Their mission is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by serving the church and fulfilling the Great Commission. They have over 40 different degree programs. We love the one where they partner with us, the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization, us being Church Answers and Revitalized Network. This 37-hour degree is designed to help students move established churches from flatline to flourishing. You can learn more about it by visiting sebts.edu. You can see that in the show notes instead of trying to listen to me. Where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there. Thank you again for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. My name is Tom Rainer. I have been joined by Sam Rainer. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. Join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.